All right, so throw a question out there. You can say it out loud if you want. If not, that's fine too. What would you think is the biggest objection to or knock on Christianity or the church today? Maybe scandal? What's that? You jump right to the end. Okay, we'll just go there. Right, yeah, that's where I was going, hypocrisy. And it's not just the world out there that thinks that. Came to mind pretty quickly here. That was Jesus' biggest problem with the religious as well. We have, as a community, a series of statements that if I told you what their labels were, not what they actually are, but their labels, you would say, ah, it's just nothing but a bunch of empty corporate jargon. But our mission and our model and our vision flow right out of the pages of Scripture, and they are designed to keep us from having those accusations of scandal or irrelevance or hypocrisy leveled against us. Right? When I say mission, I mean why we do the things we do. When I say model, I mean how we do the things we do. And when I say vision, when we're doing those things, when we're living out of our mission, living out of our model, then our vision is what actually happens, right? So if you could, Tim, if you go ahead and put that slide up there, really simply, our mission is to love God and love others. We try not to complicate things too much. Our model is to look up, lean in, and reach out. We're going to talk a lot more about these, so if you haven't heard these before, you will. And our vision is to build a community where people come to know and grow in Jesus in a way that draws others to do the same. Now, you guys are going to do most of the work this morning, but I'm going to set the stage. I'm going to set up these conversations that we're about to have. Towards the end of Jesus's life, the religious were coming after him hard. They were verbally assaulting him with questions, and their goal was to trip him up. They wanted to out him as a heretic or a liar or a fool or all of them. And every question they brought to him, he handled with such deftness and wisdom that they were literally left speechless. Scripture says that no one dared to ask him any more questions. That's Matthew chapter 22. They come after him, like these three consecutive questions, different people. And in that Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked, they think they can trip him up by, you know, there's 613 commands in the Old Testament. Jesus, which one is the greatest? And they thought that would trip him up. Without missing a beat, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, I'll give you another one. You didn't ask for it, but I'll give you another one. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's Matthew 22. Very next chapter, Matthew 23, he goes off, right? They're done with their questions. They can't trip him up. So Jesus, for lack of a better term, goes on the offensive, and he goes off on the religious. And seven different ways he calls them out on their hypocrisy. We're going to talk about just one of them because I feel like it almost encapsulates all the other ones. This is Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So this was a correction for those who are already in error, and a warning, an encouragement, a challenge, if you will, to those who are listening who maybe hadn't fallen down this particular path yet. And the thing that's great, I want to focus on that justice, mercy, and faithfulness, right? We can't forget about the logistics of it, like doing the other stuff that's commanded, but I want to focus the rest of our time primarily on justice, mercy, and faithfulness because it lines up. This is one of the passages where we get our model, right? Look up, lean in, and reach out. And one of the things that drew me to Christianity, that keeps me following Jesus, is that God doesn't ask anything of us that he hasn't already given to us. Right? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And so we're going to break those down, and we're going to actually talk about them in reverse order. But I'll do a little bit of explanation, and then you guys are going to turn and kind of share some thoughts about each one of those things, about how we flesh those out and make those real in our coming and going through, you know, the rest of the week, Monday through Saturday. Okay? Sound good? Nod your heads a little louder so I can hear them rattle. Thank you. All right. I tweaked, for today's message, I tweaked the idea of look up, lean in, and reach out a little bit, and I changed it to love up, love in, love out. That's because Jesus said that should be our defining characteristic. John chapter 13, verse 35, if you could put that up there. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. So we're going to look at how we approach our relationship with Jesus, how we approach our relationship with the people in this room, and how we approach our relationship with people outside the room through the lens of love in these three things, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So the first one, love up, this idea of faithfulness. And if you were here last week, this is basically last week's sermon. Jesus showed us how to love in the way that he gave himself in his life and in his death. And that's what he expects from us, towards each other. Towards him, he designed us to have him as the most important central organizing relationship of our lives. And that can be challenging because sometimes, like, I thought that was supposed to be my spouse. I thought that was supposed to be my kids. I thought that was supposed to be my parents. If we put Jesus in the middle and we put him first, all those other relationships are made better by that. Right? Jesus painted the picture of himself as the vine and we are the branches. If we connect to him as our source for everything, right? First for forgiveness, and then our identity and our solace and our comfort and our protection and our leadership and our direction, that's the way he designed life to be lived. One way that we can grow that connection with Jesus is to meditate, ponder, think deeply about the ways that we see him move. Right? The ways he makes himself known. The ways that he creates for us to be grateful. Right? Whether that's appreciating nature, whether that's the smile, like Kilian walked by me and gave me this big smile this morning, right? Like, that's amazing. Isla gave me a hug. That's amazing. Right? Those are moments that I will tuck away in the back of my head and remember. So what you're going to, and sometimes we come here and we may feel like we don't have much to be grateful for. Life has been hard for whatever reason. That's okay, right? You don't have to fake it. The idea is not to put on a shiny, happy face and make something up. But being around other people who can share their gratitude moments with you can turn on the circuits in our brain that allow us to remember, oh, right, all the things that God has done for us, all the ways he's made himself known. And if you're here this morning and you're still trying to figure out how you and God interact and what that means, there's a part of the Bible that tells us that every good gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. So you may not even realize it at this point in time, but if there's something that you're grateful for, something good that you have in your life, that's a gift from God. And we can be grateful for that. So we're going to take a few minutes. The question will go up on the screen, and all you got to do is share something you're grateful for or a God moment, something that God, and I've talked to a couple of you already this morning, so I know there's a couple of you that have these moments already, right? So please, you're going to turn, try not to get in groups of like more than five, just so everybody has a chance to share if they want to. When we do this, when we make you turn towards each other, you don't have to share anything if you don't want. Please feel free to just hang out and hear what the other people around you have to say, right? So you're going to share a gratitude moment or a God moment. Ready? Go. And there's some folks who are going to come around and help you kind of lead those discussions. So don't feel like you're going to be left on your own there, I promise. All right, here we go. If I could have your attention back here for a second. So that was love up. We grow in our ability to love God by sharing those moments when we've seen him come through and the things that we're grateful for. To turn that direction in, right? How we love in the people in this space. I started by saying these are all things that God does for us, right? When God shows us his mercy, the scripture says justice, mercy, faithfulness. God shows us his mercy, right? It's when he withholds that which we deserve for the things we've done wrong, our shortcomings, our faults, and our failures. And instead, he lavishes his grace on us. Think about that, right? Instead of holding us to that, he lavishes, because of Jesus, he lavishes his grace on us. Now he turns to us and he says, take that and share that with others. Bear one another's burdens, physically, relationally, emotionally, financially. In all those ways, we're to care for one another. In shorthand, we talk about these things throughout the year. And when I generally refer to love in, look in, or lean in, I will say support, encourage, challenge. We want to specifically, in your conversations, want you to talk about how you best receive encouragement in your pursuit of Jesus. Right? Jesus wants us to be in a relationship with him. What helps you do that? Okay, that's the first thing. This one's a two-parter, part A and part B. That's the first thing. And then, based on that, what people say around you, maybe it's somebody in that circle, maybe it's somebody, you know, not, maybe somebody else in this room, one thing that you're going to do this week to encourage somebody. Got it? What is encouraging to you as you try to grow in your relationship with Jesus, and what are you going to do to encourage somebody else this week? Ready? Go. Okay, folks, sorry, I hate to cut you off, but we're going to keep moving on. We're going to do our last one. So the last piece of this, Jesus challenges the religious who are doing like they're checking their boxes, but they've forgotten about faithfulness, they've forgotten about mercy, and they've forgotten about justice, right? And that's where we get our reach out, or for this morning's sake, love out. And when I think about the justice of God, that means wrongs being righted. Right, wrongs being righted. And here and now, as we walk around, that's our wrongs being taken upon Jesus and being made right in and through his death and resurrection. Ultimately, when Jesus comes back, everything is going to be restored. Everything is going to be made new, and all the wrongs will be righted. So that means, if that's what Jesus shows to us, we are to be people who right wrongs. If there is a need, we try to fill it. If there's somebody who is feeling weak at the moment, we bring them our strength. If there's somebody who needs protection, we stand in front of them. If there's somebody on the other side of a chasm, we bridge the gap. That's what the justice of God is all about, that we receive from Jesus flows through us out to other people. So really practically, Leanne went around and gave every group a piece of paper and a pen. You could appoint someone to be scribe, preferably somebody with handwriting that's legible. We're going to ask you guys to share the name of someone, just the first name of someone who has a need or someone who you want to introduce to Jesus. And the reason why we're asking you to write down their first name is so we can continue to pray for them after this morning. Okay, so you're going to share the first name of someone who has a need, the first name of someone who you want to introduce to Jesus. Go ahead. Thank you guys for doing that, for taking the time to hear from each other, to invest in each other, and hopefully as we head out into the weeks, you'll have some handles to grab onto as we think about loving up, loving in, and loving out, that would be real and something that we as a community would do corporately, and we would try to help each other do those things. If we are serious about loving God and loving others, and we do that in these directions up, in, and out, it will cause us to live differently. And if we're not living differently than the world around us, if we're not living differently than we were yesterday, then we should kind of stop and check ourselves. And this is not, like, we're not living differently for the sake of being weird, not living differently just for the sake of being different. We're trying to be Jesus-y for Jesus' sake. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to be known by, loving God and loving others. I'm going to pray for these cards, pray for us, And then Ben and Britt are going to lead us in one more song. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this space that we can meet together. Thank you for the opportunity to share with one another, that we can be real. If we're having a good day, bad day, normal day, something in between, that we can just come here and know that there are other folks who are trying to follow you, coming maybe from similar weeks, maybe not, but that we're here for each other. And more importantly, that you are always there for us. So Lord Jesus, would you make us the kind of people that love up, love in, and love out? And Jesus, we, as we think about your justice, we pray specifically for the names on these cards, Jesus, that you would move. Where there is pain, you would bring comfort. Where there is need, you would bring provision. Jesus, where there is an absence of you, you would step into these people's lives in real and unmistakable ways. And Jesus, I pray that same thing for our country, that you would make yourself known in these days of violence and pain and suffering and confusion and hatred, that your people would respond to your life, to your faithfulness, Jesus, the way you were faithful on our behalf, that we would be faithful to you, and it would make a difference in the world around us. Lord Jesus, please move in and through us. We love you and we thank you. Amen.